You're listening to the Free Oromia podcast, dedicated to amplifying the voices of freedom. Thanks for tuning in to the Free Oromia podcast. Visit our website at freeoromia.org. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Team Free Oromia, and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Team Free Oromia. You can also give us a call on the Free Oromia podcast hotline at 430-755-0727 and leave us a voicemail asking us questions or giving us your feedback. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hello, everyone. We are Team Free Oromia, and you are listening to the Free Oromia podcast, a podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices of freedom, liberation, and decolonization. I am Jal Muro, and I'm joined, as usual, by my phenomenal, brilliant co-host, Jal Ango.
Hello, hello, hello. Good to be back again. I thought we quit with that stuff. Why you always got to bring it back, man? Because you know it brings out the competitive streak in me. Now I've got to do you one up next time.
Honestly, ever since we reduced to every other week, I feel like it's been forever since we sat down and recorded. Yeah. So I just, you know, had to pull out all the stops for you, Jalanko. I couldn't help myself.
Well, it's appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. So listeners, if this is your first time tuning in, we're so happy to have you join us today. And if you're a returning listener, of course, we're thrilled to have you back again. Mm-hmm. Take a moment to follow us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at Team Free Oromia, and visit our website, freeoromia.org, for more. You should also go ahead and subscribe to our Telegram channel, which is called Team Free Oromia, you guessed it. And the link to get to that is t.me/Team Free Oromia. So without further ado, I would like to introduce our special guest for today's episode. We have the pleasure of being joined by Jal Najat Hamza, who has recently been appointed as an international spokesperson for WABO, Waranabilisuma Oromo, also known as OLA, the Oromo Liberation Army. Jal Najat, it's really such a pleasure to have you here with us today. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, it's exciting to have you in the virtual studio. Would you mind just briefly introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yes, so straight out of Oromia, Diredo City, shout out. And of course, Little Oromia is my second home away from home, but that's my root. Things that most people don't know about me, I'm an avid writer, a poet too, and I love art and many other things that help me express our situation as people. I wanted to highlight those things because the other things are loud and out there. And so I wanted to give them that piece of me that maybe not a lot of people get to see.
Nice. Awesome. Love that. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
So can you tell us what is your official title? And in terms of the new role that you have taken on, and what will you be doing in this capacity?
So here's the little confusion when it comes to that, because it's a tricky title. People say like international spokesperson for WABO, but it's more like the public relations side of things. So that would be Jal Oda Terbi's turf. However, we are a team. We strategize together and represent, you know, Oromo Liberation Army to the world, as well as kind of bringing the people to Oromo Liberation Army and Oromo Liberation Army to the people. It's a very noted hole in communication. between these two entities, even though one is out there fighting, literally fighting for our freedom. There is a murky business when it comes to communications and kind of knowing day-to-day mm-hmm. activities of Oromia Liberation Army and what they achieve on the ground. And so my job is kind of bridging those gaps and, of course, getting rid of some of the confusions that comes from not knowing the true and firsthand information from the entity itself. And mm-hmm. there's, of course, bad actors in between our people that literally deliberately like make these things happen so that we don't come into one collective effort. And so my job is to dispel that and to take people's concerns, mm-hmm. suggestions, ideas, take it back to the entity directly and take orders from them to give it to our people to act on. So no more murky business because this is 11th hour and we need to do everything we can to achieve what we couldn't achieve before. That is to own our own victory and to make it be about ourselves. So basically that's what it is.
I love that.
Oh, and yeah. I forgot. So the actual title, I will read it off. Public Relations Representative of Oromo Liberation Army Spokesperson 1. And the Afan Oromo version would be Dubihima Idila Dunya Wobotif Bakabutu Kunnamti Ummata. So that Bakabutu Kunnamti Ummata is my job. So that's what I do. And the Dubihima would be Jal Oda Tarbi. So both of these things are complementary to one another. And so I have the pleasure of listening to our people and kind of uniting in effort and dispel the fact that whenever we say Tokuma, we sing about Tokuma and we write about Tokuma, people take it to mean uniformity of idea instead of collective effort in delivering a certain action. And you can have a little bit of a differences of opinion, even have a completely different opinion, really, and still focus and work on a task together in a way that doesn't undermine the task or the goal that we want. So that's what I'm trying to do. That's my goal.
Yeah, I think that's really such an important distinction about, you know, what Tokuma actually means. And yeah, because I do feel, well, we had an episode about this a while back, and I just feel like it's a very complex topic, even though it's something that we say so often, we say it all the time, it's in, you know, every song. But yeah, what does it actually mean? And how are people interpreting it? I think
that's part of the problem. Like I said, I in my little, you know, time on earth here, and specifically being an Oromo person, like, I think we're waiting for that unity where all of our brain join together and we have the same thoughts.
One super brain.
Yes. And you think what I think and we want Bilisuma and one way to go about it. And
yeah,
that is never, ever going to materialize. Not because we can't achieve it. It's impossible to achieve it. So what does it really mean? And I have been writing about this forever. I think that unity of purpose is more like it and not uniformity in that sense. So I always distinguish the two. Like the unity of purpose is like, here is the goal. This is what we want. And how can I contribute in my own way to move or push the goal forward? And that's what unity really is. To take that task, make it be about that task and contribute towards something that pushes that task to its destination. And that's unity to me. And that's how I define it. If we're waiting for that moment of that amazing serendipitous, you know, one giant Oromo brain, it's never going to materialize. And we're going to be thinking about it for another millennia, you know. So this is the kind of message that I want to bring to the people. And so that everyone knows that their thoughts and ideas and opinions matter and it's validated. But here's what we're going to do. Like, this is for all of us. And here's how you contribute in your own way. So dispel that myth is my first goal.
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic message to be putting out into the world, you know, and I hope that our nation takes heed. But what I really liked about what you described is entailed by your role is the bilateral communication that you're responsible for facilitating. Like you said, taking the messages that you're getting from the people and delivering them to Wobo and vice versa, I think is so important. There's been a sense of lack of clarity and communication, as you alluded to. So having you in place to help address that issue is extremely important and particularly crucial in this moment. So it's exactly the right time, Jalnajat, to have you doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you for that. I hear that a lot, and I always say it has always been time, because you know, we have never rested. And I remember you mentioning we do all more things than we do everything else. That has been my life for as long as I remember. But sometimes we don't think about what is the most impactful way to do what we do so that we get the, you know, the goals that we want out of that effort. And so nowadays I've been a lot, like I reflect a lot to see what can I do, and whatever I'm doing, is it going to achieve something? Is it going to change something for the better for us? And so this role, even though it wasn't a role I was preparing for, it was a needed role that I needed to take on. Like you said, it's a crucial time right now, and it's the time, it's the best of times, and it's also the worst of times, right? I'm going to go there. That means there is an opportunity for us to really conclude this in a way that we want, but it requires efforts that are coordinated, that are clear, that are concise, and to get to that. So we have never lacked human resources, the intelligence or the bravery or the grits and all of these qualities that people strive for. Ormo people have it in drones. It's just a matter of harvesting all of this together in a way that can get us to where we need to be. And so if me standing in this place can help a minute amount, then so be it. And that's why I decided to take it on. Because I, just like Jalango, I believe that it can play a role of some sort.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually, because, you know, aside from the dissemination of information, like through that spokesperson type of role, that aspect of your role, the fact that it's really focused around public relations and getting input from the public is really important, like you both were saying. Do you have a set plan for how you will be engaging with the public, or like any types of forums that you'll be using to specifically get that kind of feedback?
Yes. And so what I've been doing since this is like a minute ago, right? The appointment itself. So what I've been doing is that, believe it or not, our people are structured all over the place in all of the places they reside in one way or another. In the, like, it could be friends getting together 10, 15, 20 here and there. It could be some sort of a social club. It could be something like, you know, legit. So everybody's organized, but do all of those cells talk to each other? Do they know each other's effort well enough that we don't, you know, waste resources, human resources, material resources, and all these other things? So what I've been doing is just kind of holding like listening sessions to those who have questions for me, and answer them if I know the answers, or take that honestly and say, okay, let me work on this for you. And this, I do this to kind of start to build trust and relationship with the people and the actors, because the last thing you want to do is create some sort of a doubt, or that you don't hear a person right, or you don't make them feel validated. So I really do take it to heart, like one community at a time, one group at a time. And the thing about trust is that once you establish that with a couple of groups, that kind of turns into some sort of like a character validation, like this person means business. She hears us. This is what's going on. And she brings the verified information to us. I'm not going to go off my opinion or what I think I know. It's more about like, here's my instructions and this is what this question is asking me and here's what I know about it. But if you want more, I'm going to get that for you. Can you give me, you know, a couple of days or hours or whatever, you know, time needs to be, you know, to clear that situation. So far it's been going well. So it's just listening to the heartbeat of the Oromo people wherever they are around the globe. And the feedback I have so far has been very positive. We were able to clear some, you know, rifts here and there, some misunderstandings, answers. And so once they hear that back, everybody kind of know what to do because they already are structured in a way. And so they're at it. And of course, you make sure that you let them know, you know, your door is always open day or night. Like if you don't want to call, leave me a message. And I'll take every single like crucial questions, not like what color is the sky, but more like very pertinent questions that value, like that I value, that I know that it means something to the group and to us as people. I take that very seriously and they know that so far. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. That's one. And two, the other thing is to kind of train the people to know who is talking to them and for why, like, you know, for what reason, right? Not everybody who's talking to you is your friend. And not everybody who's talking to you is talking to you from a good place where they want you to achieve your objectives. So kind of differentiating those actors and who they are and validating their fear, like, is this person a friend or a foe? You know what I mean? And once you differentiate those two things, then you kind of filter some unnecessary information right away. And so then the pure questions get to us. And then, of course, I'll respond back. That's that. And the third is resource mobilization. But our first effort is, of course, the trust building and the listening and all of that. That's the third piece of things, what we haven't gotten to yet. But that's where we are.
Incredible. So just to clarify, is this a new role? Has anyone ever had this role before?
So you're right. You picked up. She should be like an attorney or something. Right?
She's shocked. She's shocked.
Right. I'm like, no, don't pick that question. Don't pick that question. And then anyhow, so I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't aware of this particular role prior. I could be wrong, but I'm not aware that it exists. But this is more so that the world we live in today, right? Like information travels in a lightning speed. And Wobo did not have like a fixture, a face that's out there defending what it does and for what reason and all that. Jal Oda Terbi does what he does, but I was also, that was my other role that I was coming to. You know what happened to, you know, after Haj Al was assassinated. We were left not only, you know, like mourning his death, which we weren't even allowed to do, we were hit with propaganda avalanche, really, to kind of fight that at the same time. And we didn't have something solid on our side, even though we had the truth, we had the hurt to counter them. And you know how that was navigated. So for Wobo is the same thing. They can always create some very messy situations on the ground, accuse this group of something that it doesn't do. And then all of the sudden we are put in this light that, you know, we can't even do nothing about because we don't have this kind of role to say, well, bring her on board and let her, you know, what do you guys have to say about this? And so this is also the other side of the coin, is that they wanted a fixture, a permanent person the world knows that they have appointed to speak on their behalf if this kind of issues arise. And I think the recent example is the East Wallaga situation that unfolded, and we were able to get ahead of it, and then it didn't turn into what they wanted it to turn into. So this is kind of the other side of the world to Wobo Wobo to the world linkage.
That public relations piece is so critical, especially as you brought up in the face of all the propaganda. So I think it's a huge deal, especially to have someone like you that's able to, you know, be a public facing figure and able to speak freely. So Janna Jazz, I mean, what does it mean to you personally, just as an individual, to have this role? Because at least from my perspective or our perspective, I mean, it is pretty historic. So like, how are you feeling about it?
I feel relieved, and I'll tell you why. Sometimes you're in your head. You guys, I don't know, my story is a bit different. We have been terrorized since we were born. Like in Dre City, like our compound has been like, you know, they come in at night and just disturb you peace. And so we watched a lot of things go down as children. And of course, we had to run away with our parents as, you know, as children from our homeland. And so we have a lot of those historic traumas and, you know, people disappearing from the neighborhoods and your friends' dads not, you know, ever being recovering, like, you know, since, I don't know, 26, 27 years now. And so there is a lot of compounded trauma and things that we have experienced, watched our parents go through, our communities go through. Even once you leave home, that you carry that with you. And that energy is nervous energy. It's angry energy. It is an energy that you don't know what to do with when you see that same thing being perpetrated generations later, like one or two minimum right now. And so for me to be given an outlet to represent, you know, my own hurt, my family's hurt, but as well as the harm that's being caused to our people is not something that I see as a burden. I see it as a relief. Like I am going to do something about it so that somebody's child, somebody's family, the nation in general, isn't going to go through this forever. So I don't know if it makes sense. For some people, they say, oh, isn't this a heavy burden? How are you going to deal with this and stuff like that? But for me, it's a form of relief to be able to take that back, take that piece of you back, take that power back and say, here is, you're going to have to deal with me now. Look at the voice that you tried to dismantle and I'm here. And so that's like an empowering moment for me. So I don't see it as a burden. Yeah. So I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you indeed. And that's very powerful to hear you say, you know, that you find this to be empowering to you personally and, you know, allowing you to help empower the Oromo people as well with true information and you know, real knowledge about what's going on the ground. And you know, you mentioned earlier that information travels at lightning speed. And in that case, sorry, that doesn't make sense. Information travels at the speed of light. but in that case, disinformation travels at a speed that we haven't yet been able to quantify. yeah, there is real empowerment in this role on so many levels.
That's your scientist side, Jalango.
I share that. She doesn't know. I share that. I am one of your people, Jalango. So I went to the numbers in my head right away when you said, you know, like,
yeah,
it's true, it is.
So over the last few years, there have been such an incredibly large development in Ola's activities, and especially now, you know, over recent weeks and months, you know, the progression is unprecedented. So what can you tell us about Ola's recent progress, including any major successes and also setbacks?
Well, what I can tell you is that movements are rapid, gains are rapid, and in a rate that we haven't really witnessed since the 1990s, right? And what makes this time different is that these are kids like you who have been educated, who know how to talk to the world, who know what they're doing. These are kids who had the world in the palm of their hands, but couldn't be a normal person and be free in that country. And they tried to fight peacefully and they couldn't. So this is a different brand of of Oromo Liberation Army. And what I hear is that things are rapidly developing on the ground. Is that the word, the phrase? And we just, which is why these things are happening, like our appointments and Jaloda Turbis and stuff, that they want to keep that up with the world so that those are highlighted. So that's all I can say, but things are progressing. We just have to make sure, like I said, to do what we can on our ends to kind of, what do you say, like get rid of some holes here and there, whether that's in communication, information, countering propaganda, standing in our truth in the world stage to let the world know what we're about and why those kids are on the ground doing what they're doing and things like that. And they handle their end. I hear that they're inviting us to handle our end. And so that's where things are heading. But you'll be seeing amazing things coming up soon, I will say.
Okay. We've had a lot of people, well, we've seen a lot of people sharing, you know, opinions online and even asking us our thoughts on this. So, you know, while we have you here, can you speak a little bit to the alliance between OLA and TDF? And for just, by the way, for our listeners who don't know what we're talking about, because we do have some non-Oromo listeners, some of our allies from around the world. Again, when we say OLA, we're talking about the Oromo Liberation Army, which in Afan Oromo we call WABO, Warana Bilisuma Oromo, and TDF, we're talking about the Tigray Defense Forces.
So first of all, the word alliance was put in it and when a third party was elaborating on that situation. It isn't an alliance yet. It will be an alliance because the alliance will entail, you know, like strategic, military, and political. Right now, what we have and what Oromo Liberation Army has agreed with TDF is an agreement that's based on 2 points, one of which is, of course, honing on the enemy of the people right now, which is the Abiy administration or the so-called Ethiopian government, and the harm it's causing to our people and the whole people of that country in general, and how he needs to be removed in the interest of peace and security. And so the second would be to share military and strategic like knowledges and ideas and skills between the two groups as they advance towards the center. So those are the only two things that was agreed upon in this agreement. But other, you know, political agreements and things to that effect is in the pipeline as they, you know, progress towards the center. So then it will become a full-on alliance when those things are worked out. And that's that. And then the other thing is, this isn't going to just be Oromo Liberation Army and TDF. There are other liberation fronts in the country that is going to be coming on board and being part of these allied forces to work towards that, achieving those two objectives. And so that's what it is. It's an agreement, not an alliance, but it is, it has a potential to become an alliance. Why, like after, you know, those wrinkles are worked out specifically. So that's what I would say to that. And that wasn't part of the written language, nor was it the way it was described in anything I've seen. It's just that sometimes people describe certain things a certain way, and then the media and other personalities latch on to that word, which means completely different things than an agreement.
Okay. One thing that sort of popped up in my mind as you were making that distinction was when you mentioned about the progression towards the center referring to Finfinne, I'm assuming, and the use of the term they kind of sparked a little thought in my mind. What does the they look like in that progression towards you know, taking Finfinne? What is the agreement in regards to what that will look like?
I guess that's just that. We don't have anything further, you know, when it comes to that detail. But what I wanted to make clear to people is that those are the 2 points that was agreed upon. That's important for 2 reasons. One, you don't waste human resources. And like, if I am advancing, if I'm Ole and I'm OLA and I'm advancing from this area, and you're not going to be crisscrossing each other, and then the other one would, you know, use efforts elsewhere, but still, you know, achieving the same objective. So in the interest of how can we do this is where these 2 agreements come from. And of course, politically, it has an implication too on the ground among the people. We know that this is a very sensitive issue because we have 27 years of history that needs to be worked out. And Jal Moreau himself have talked about how that's still on the table. We will get to that when we get to it. But at the time being, in this crucial moment, there is 2 major forces that are a threat to this government, and that is TDF and Oromo Liberation Army. And so even though we have a lot of issues to work out, a lot of things to wrinkle out and whatnot, we still have this common goal in this very moment in history to kind of advance towards that goal together. But that doesn't mean that our last 27 years of history is irrelevant. That's not what it means. It just means what it means. That's those 2 things are the agreement for now. But both parties did say that, you know, political alliances is in the works, and we don't know what that would look like yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to be continued.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And I think that as many and many more liberation fronts join in, they're making it clear that this isn't about 2 entities coming together. This is about all the nations and nationalities of that country saying no to this subjugation that is, you know, trying to land on our back, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, looking a little bit further ahead, into what the future of a liberated Oromia might look like when Finfinne has been rightfully reclaimed, and those wrinkles have been ironed out, as you say. What are Ola's post-liberation plans? And I ask this question from a perspective of looking at examples from other liberation struggles around the world, particularly armed liberation struggles, and the reality that when a nation achieves its liberation through armed means, demilitarization can become very difficult. And this can, you know, lead to issues such as border wars and military groups seeking more power. So that transition from an insurgency to an independent civil state has been the undoing of many nations that have sought liberation. So what sort of plans does Ola have in place when it achieves what is its ultimate goal, which is to liberate Oromia? And what role can we expect Ola to play in a liberated Oromia?
What I can tell you is that they want complete liberation of Oromia, And as I've alluded to earlier, these fighters aren't there because they didn't have, like, you know what I mean? They didn't have education, or like, they were just there because the struggle drove them to the forest to fight for us. These are kids who had no choice but to do what they did. So if the demilitarization happens after liberation, these are capable bodies who can completely be integrated into, you know, civilian leadership roles where they can carry us forward in that regard as well. I think you can already see some of that happening on the ground as they move towards towns and small villages and cities. The first thing you see them do is kind of roll out this, you know, like civilian education, how to govern themselves, kind of put down some sort of a structure once they drive out the existing forces and things like that. And then, of course, open up the spaces for the rest of Oromian talents and leaders of today to kind of step into that role and govern.
Okay, now that's interesting to, you know, hear you say how Wobor even now recognizing the necessity of instituting, you know, civil governance structures as they go, so to speak, to make that transition to civil governance after full liberation has been achieved, more smooth, and, you know, recognizing that the building of a civil governance framework needs to be concurrent and integrated with the armed struggle.
Definitely. So before we wrap up for today, Jalango, I wanted to pass it over to you. We had put out a poll on our Instagram at Team Free Oromia. Make sure you're following if you're not already. Because we do like to engage with our listeners on there. But we had asked for people to submit questions ahead of this discussion. So I think we might have time for maybe one. What do you think, Jalango?
I think a few of the questions have already been addressed anyway. So to pick one, that hasn't been addressed yet. Here's a good one. So the Sheik model asks, how can the youth take part and volunteer? And I assume they mean volunteer in ways that can help Wobor contribute towards Wobor's efforts.
Good question. So when it comes to youth, this is an issue near and dear to my heart, right next to women's issues. I usually group those two together. I know that we automatically go to the volunteering because I know me growing up here, we took care of adults whenever they had meetings and, when they need us, we were there, maybe put on an Oya show. And after that, you're kind of done and you're really not part of that serious discussion and what have you. I think that needs to stop. Youth needs to be front and center and be part of this conversation. After all, this feature is theirs. It's being made and being fought for so that they could have the country that we all want. One, it maybe didn't grow in it, but like grow up in it, maybe they need to take ownership, saying that this isn't about volunteering. This is about, we want to hear from the youth. What do you want to see? What do you want to see change? Like, who do you want to address that to? Whatever the question is, they need to be front and center. With that said, how can they help contribute, amplify the voice of Oromo Liberation Army? Because they stand and fight for us, and they are our voice on the battleground, and we can be out here telling the world why they fight this fight for us, right? Mm-hmm. Like sharing their narrative. And the youth of today can do an amazing job in amplifying that in a ways that was not possible before, right? Generation or two ago. And so that's how they can help. It's not really a volunteer. It's more about come educate yourself, know a little bit of, you know, who does what, you know, the basics. But after that, represent that idea in everything you say and do, and kind of amplify that. And that is how you can help for now, besides being front and center and taking a role, an active role in everything Oromo, right? Not just volunteering, but that's what I would say. So twofolds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yes. You're welcome.
And thank you to our followers on Instagram who submitted questions. We appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Jal Najat, thank you again so much for taking the time to join us. We know that, especially now more than ever, you're a very busy woman. So thank you for taking the time, or making the time, I should say.
Yeah.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You have been listening to the Free Oromia podcast, a podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices of freedom. We hope that you enjoyed our discussion today, and we want to hear from you. Call us on the Free Oromia podcast hotline, leave us a message, tell us what you thought about our conversation today. You can reach us at +1 if you're out of the country or out of the US, 430-755-0727. And you can also reach us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, all at Team Free Oromia. The Free Oromia podcast is available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also listen to all of our episodes and view our show notes at freeoromia.org/podcast. And we have new episodes coming out every other Thursday.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
And we'll see you. Thank you, Jal Najat.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Mi makaxe na ya tchese se fundo fabonto na gama tchese hal kanu galgala na jala tchese tanjolu masan na tabachese oromia.